Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by the Michigan Cherry Committee. Learn more about the wonderfully tart Montmorency cherry at choosecherries.com.
That morning I woke up and I made coffee and, you know, I just realized I couldn't really smell much of the coffee. So I thought, okay, maybe it's just an old coffee. I didn't really think about it.
Habíamos pedido una pizza hawaiana, sí, lo admito. Me fascina la pizza hawaiana. Y cuando abrimos la caja, pues no fue ese olor humeante, delicioso, de la masa, del queso, sino nada. Me sorprendí un poco, pero no pensé más. Y luego tomé la primera tajada y con toda la ilusión de pegar ese mordisco, me di cuenta que no me sabía absolutamente nada.
Later that night, I was sautéing garlic and onions. I was making a tomato sauce and I couldn't smell the garlic at all. I couldn't tell if it was mint or garlic or strawberries. It was very strange.
My friend had given me a delicious fluke, and I decided that I'd have it with some marinara sauce for dinner and some vegetables. I cooked the fish, I put the sauce on, I sat down to eat it, I presented it beautifully, and I was so disappointed when I bit in and it literally had no flavor.
Fui al refrigerador y saqué un yogurt de vainilla, Siggy's, y me lo empecé a comer y sentí que sabía como entre metálico, químico, súper raro. Bajé, compré un par más, diferentes marcas, me empecé a comer todos los demás y todo tenía el mismo como sabor químico, como un aftertaste de una medicina, muy bizarro, muy raro.
El olfato y el gusto son, de hecho, un único sentido, cuyo laboratorio es la boca y chimenea la nariz. Frase de Brillant Savarin. Mi nombre es Diego Senior.
Y yo soy Mariana Velázquez.
Y esto es Buen Limón Radio.
Estamos aquí sentados en nuestro apartamento en Brooklyn en medio de la cuarentena del COVID-19 y queremos compartir con ustedes una serie de historias de amigos y colegas que trabajan en la industria de la gastronomía y que fueron afectados directamente por el virus.
Todos ellos y ellas, además de otros síntomas, se quedaron sin sus sentidos del olfato y del gusto. Personas que viven de ese sentido, del olfato y del gusto.
Quisimos preguntarles cómo fue la experiencia, cómo vivieron la comida a través de esos días y cómo los impactó siendo que su vida finalmente es el comer.
After a couple days of having no taste, I started to freak out, obviously, and I'm a cook, and this is how I make my money. You know, this was before they had said that COVID caused loss of smell and taste. What I realized first, I was like, okay, well, let's focus on texture, right? So lots of crunchy things. I love texture anyway in my food. I love putting breadcrumbs on nearly everything. So I thought, well, let's just focus on that. The most important thing is that I loved ice cream, that creaminess, the texture of the softness. So here I thought I was going to lose weight, and I started eating a pint of ice cream every night because it was I really could truly enjoy the creamy factor of it.
My husband had the virus, or it seemed like it, a few days before. I lost my sense of taste, so I was sort of ready to see it happen. And then I prepared a quiche for lunch, which is something I never cook, even though it's pretty classic in France as well. But this chef we know on Instagram was giving a lesson to make a quiche, and I was really excited to sort of get back to this grandmother kind of recipe. And then as I started to fry garlic and onions to start the filling, I realized I really couldn't smell any of it. And I would add salt and more garlic, and I couldn't smell anything. And that's when I realized that was it. I was fucked, basically. I was pretty annoyed by it, but I thought, you know what? As long as I recover my taste for my birthday in a couple of days, in a few days, I should be fine.
What I realized is that the only things that tasted good to me were very acidic foods or very tart foods. So I had some cherry juice. So I was drinking cherry juice. I had some unsweetened cranberry juice. I was having the spicy ginger juice. And then I was also eating just broths and soups that I made incredibly spicy. I was adding hot sauce, salsas, anything to give it spice. And very brothy things.
So it was very uncomfortable situation to not be able to taste, which made me eat less. For one side was great, for another side was like very unhappy not to be able to eat all the beautiful food that we were cooking. During this time, I was basically having kombucha and refreshing drinks. No much food. I was not hungry because I could taste nothing. I may have a lot of arepas with cheese, and then slowly start incorporating more food, but usually it was with the soup or something light. So I was eating basic food, and then after the 5th, 6th, 7th day, I start tasting better and better.
Did a barbecue that was a couple of days after my birthday, and thank God I realized I could actually completely taste the delicious ribeye that my husband had bought and the cake he had made for my birthday. So better later than never. But I never really panicked in terms of health. Thankfully, nothing else happened to me. I just lost my taste for a week. So I completely acknowledged the fact that there was nothing dramatic in my situation. And I certainly am not a lot to complain in this day and age.
I went to a wine event in for the Bordeaux Association. A friend of mine's a sommelier in the city. This was about 6 months ago. And the head of the Bordeaux Wine Association said that in their tests in south of France, that they concluded that 70% of taste was due to texture. 70%. That seemed like a lot to me. And I had said this for the last, 6 months, I kept saying, oh, I went to this Bordeaux event and 70% of taste is texture. I will say that that's false, that it's probably more like 40% or 50%. So yes, that is true. And yes, there is a lot of texture within taste. But let me tell you, losing my sense of taste, I'm like, no. They work in unison. They work together. They're symbiotic. And I guess the major lesson is I'm learning to just enjoy anything that I can taste and to taste it slowly and to just enjoy it.
I had cravings for red meat, and I wanted really rare red meat, and that was something I could really taste. And I couldn't understand why I suddenly wanted meat, because I don't generally eat a lot of meat, but it's all I could think about. And I later found out that another friend who had the virus had the same thing, and it's because meat has a lot of zinc. And often you can't get the same amount of zinc from a pill as you could from eating the food. So that's why I was craving the red meat. The way it impacted me is I just followed my natural body telling me what I wanted to drink and eat. And I would advise you to do the same, because I think the body does tell us what we want to eat. Anyway, I hope this is helpful. Thank you very much.
This episode is brought to you by the Michigan Cherry Committee. A cherry isn't just a cherry. When it comes to tart cherries, the wonderfully U.S.-grown Montmorency tart cherry variety is the cherry with more. They're available year-round, dried, frozen, canned, juice, and concentrate. U.S. Montmorency tart cherries are also one of America's superfruit, which means they're good for you. Tart cherries contain many antioxidants and beneficial phytonutrients, including anthocyanins, the pigments that give tart cherries their beautiful red color. And don't forget about flavor. U.S. Montmorency's unique sour-sweet profile makes them an excellent addition to yogurt, oatmeal, salads, trail mix, and of course, a classic cherry pie. Learn more about the wonderfully U.S.-grown Montmorency tart cherry at choosecherries.com.
Esas son las voces de las personas, Mariana, que durante un tiempo determinado se quedaron sin su olfato y sin su gusto. Pero una muy buena amiga, Daniela Chávez, vive su vida así, no solamente durante un tiempo determinado, tras un accidente y un golpe en su cráneo, Mariana, algo que le cambió la vida.
¿Cuándo y cómo perdiste el sentido del gusto y el olfato? Los perdí en el 2017, después de que me desmayé en una tienda aquí en Nueva York y me fracturé el cráneo, y a raíz de eso perdí el olfato primero y 2 meses y medio después perdí el gusto, que normalmente es inusual porque los dos están tan conectados que los pierdes los dos al mismo tiempo. Nada me sabía cómo era, todo me sabía como químicos, la carne, toda la proteína me sabía demasiado mal. Y poco a poco empecé a perder todos esos sabores inventados, hasta el punto que la comida ya me sabía casi a nada. Y desde ahí, pues realmente empezó una nueva relación con la comida, ¿no? Toda la comida ahora tiene que ser visualmente algo interesante. Me encantan las texturas ahora, esos son mis nuevos sabores. Siempre pienso en el contenido nutricional de lo que estoy comiendo. Me encanta mezclar texturas con temperaturas, cosas que visualmente se vean ricas, porque así es como si a mí se me antojan las cosas. ¿Qué te preguntan y qué le respondes a tus amigos que aparentemente tienen COVID y te llaman al perder el sentido del sabor y el olfato? Realmente todo el mundo me habla para decirme cómo así es como llevas viviendo los últimos 2 años y medio de tu vida. Y sí, al principio fue difícil y hablamos de esto y es muy interesante ver la reacción que la gente tiene, porque yo nunca tuve con quién hablar. Y yo no sabía, para mí esto no era algo temporal, como mucha gente lo ha tenido y se le ha quitado 4 días después. Yo nunca tuve con alguien con el que compartir esto. Entonces es muy interesante hablar con esa gente que me ha llamado para realmente decir, te pienso, y qué raro es experimentar la comida así, pero siempre sabiendo que lo van a poder regresar. Entonces, como que siento que ha brindado un poquito más de spotlight a lo que me está pasando y se ha estado escribiendo un poco más de artículos, que para mí es más interesante porque puedo leer un poco más y puedo tener un poco más de esperanza de que me regrese si es que alguien está poniendo más como atención.
Y así terminamos este episodio de Buen Limón Radio. Gracias por acompañarnos y ojalá que todos en este momento en casa sigamos pudiendo probar, oler y saborear la vida, los momentos y esta oportunidad de pausa. Thank you, gracias a nuestros amigos que compartieron sus historias. Thank you to our friends who share their stories in this bilingual episode.
My name is Alison Attenborough. I'm a food stylist, prop stylist, recipe developer, and I live in Manhattan, New York.
Hi guys, my name is Anna Polonsky, and I'm a creative director for hospitality based in Brooklyn, New York.
My name is Bretton Scott. I am a freelance food stylist, chef, private chef, cook, and I live in Brooklyn, New York, in Fort Greene.
My name is Fernando Aciar. I am a ceramicist. I also form a chef with 3 cafes in the city, which are closed right now, sadly, and I live in Bedside, Brooklyn. Thank you.
Buen Limón is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us on facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.